Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The following episode involves scenes of sexual abuse that some may find disturbing. Parental discretion is advised. There was once a place deep in the rural hinterland of Bavaria in southern Germany, positioned half a kilometre to the west of the village of Gröben. It sat quiet and still, alone in the fields, surrounded by thick pine forest, a farmhouse made of stone and painted white. The farm, known as Hinterkaifeck, had passed through many hands over the years, all of which had at one time or another worked the rich dark earth that surrounded it, sowing it, tilling it, and pulling from it, fingers plunged deep into the black of it, and all had in one way or another left a piece of themselves in it too. By 1886, the property had been passed to Cecilia Assam and Andreas Gruber, the pair having taken ownership of it shortly after the death of Cecilia's first husband, Josef. For Cecilia, left to run the farm and raise two young children alone, Andreas was an apt partner. A farm labourer, with an intense and quiet disposition, his hands were strong and his shoulders broad enough for them all, not that Cecilia's weren't also. And so in April 1886, Cecilia Assam became Cecilia Gruber, and together she and Andreas worked the farm and the surrounding fields, maintaining a fine and stable business. In 1887, new life arrives in the form of a baby girl, named Victoria. She is joined by Sophie 2 years later, and for those first few years, joy threatens to reign at Hinterkaifeck, but the joy is short-lived. Like almost 20% of children in the local district at the time, Sophie does not live to see her second birthday. And now a cloud is descending over this stark, white property, cast adrift from the nearby town, and seeming to move further away with each passing day, the forests surrounding it seeming to grow ever denser, and the trees looming ever taller. It is a natural habit of humans to project onto all that we see, and no more so than with our interpretations of the forest. For some, the forest is foreboding, a locus for unknown dangers that lurk deep within. But the forest does not think itself foreboding. The forest just is. And yet, for Hinterkaifeck, it is hard not to read those tall, thick pines that surrounded the farm and the gloom of the forest beyond as some kind of psychic projection emanating from the darkness festering inside that white stone building. A darkness that would one day come to define that land in more ways than one. How fitting, too, that the patch of woodland closest to the farm should be called Hexenholz, or the Witch's Forest. The notion of the witch often being just a projection of our own innate fears of the other, but also too, as woman suffragist Matilda Jocelyn Gage once noted, the fear of women. But perhaps it isn't just fear that manifests this patriarchal image of the malevolent witch, but guilt too. You're listening to Unexplained, and I'm Richard MacLean Smith. The couple looked happy enough as they stood reciting their vows under the watchful eyes of the priest. As they stepped out of the church arm in arm, some say for a brief moment the clouds above parted and a ray of sunshine slipped through. Perhaps the bride, a now 26-year-old Victoria, saw it too, and perhaps for a moment there was even the hint of a smile as she looked into the eyes of her new husband, Carl Gabriel, and saw there the hope of a better future, a future safe from harm and full of warmth for the child that would surely come. But such thoughts were never kept long in her mind before the sight of her father, Andreas Gruber, dissolved them instantly. That unmoving, impassive face, ever present, always watching. The sight of him never failing to catch in her throat, congealing like thick black tar. There had long been rumours about the man, about how he regularly beat his wife, Cecilia, now 64 years old and 9 years his senior. But that wasn't all. It was said to be common knowledge amongst the local farming community and in the village of Gruben that Andreas regularly raped his daughter, although it wasn't called rape at the time. Perhaps Carl knew this too when he married Victoria, and perhaps there was a hope that their marriage might put an end to the abuse. Or perhaps, as some have suggested, the union was more pragmatic than that, that it merely offered a buffer for Victoria and an opportunity for Carl, and indeed the wider Gabriel family, to gain access to a successful, if modest, business. Only a month before their wedding, Andreas transferred all the rights to the farm to his daughter, making her the sole heir to the property. By marrying Victoria, Carl had guaranteed that any children of theirs would inherit the land. But for some, possessions, or at least what they consider to be their possessions, are not so easy to let go of. And no matter where they turned, nor what time of day, there would be Andreas, who along with Cecilia remained living at the property, standing watch, stone-faced, deep in thought. Barely weeks after the wedding, Carl moved back home to his parents, complaining that he was being bullied and that the fierce and uncompromising Andreas had even taken to starving him. But just as Andreas cast his shadow over Hinterkaifeck, so too were other, larger shadows being steadily drawn across the land. In late June of 1914 comes the news that Archduke Franz Ferdinand, heir to the throne of Austria-Hungary, has been shot dead. The rickety, stumbling wheel of human civilization takes another lurch from the path and wobbles inexorably toward war. And so the men are summoned by appeals to duty and valour. Perhaps it is with trepidation that Carl packs up the few belongings he'll need and marches out of the farm toward Munich to sign up, leaving behind a now 4 months pregnant Victoria. Or perhaps at the sight of the stone-faced Andreas, pausing briefly from his work in the field to nod goodbye to his son-in-law, it is with relief. Before long, it is December 12, 1914. 800 kilometres to the northwest of Hinterkaifeck, a crow swoops down above a field just north of the town of Arras, coming to rest on what remains of an old beech tree. In the field below, freshly scarred and pockmarked by shelling, there lies a body, its forehead split open and the lower jaw obliterated, its pale vacant eyes staring up toward a slowly darkening sky. The crow caws and swoops down for closer inspection, but a hand quickly shoos it away. Josef Bickler, a farmer from Weidhofen, a town close to Gröben, stands over the body, recognizing it instantly as that of his old school friend, Carl Gabriel. The following week, back at Hinterkaifeck, a now heavily pregnant Victoria watches from the window as postal worker Josef Meyer draws near to the house. With him, he carries a copy of Andreas's regular paper and a letter addressed to Victoria, written by Josef Bickler, informing her of her husband's death. But Victoria has little time to grieve when 3 weeks later she gives birth to her first child, whom she names Cecilia after her mother. But still the rumours refuse to go away, as many in the village are left wondering, is the child Carl's, or is it her father's? At some point in early 1915, a complaint is brought to the local police that Andreas was committing incest with his daughter. After a formal investigation, rumour becomes fact when on May 28th, Andreas is convicted for the offence, with the court deciding to limit the period of the crime to the years 1907 to 1910, when Victoria was aged 20 to 23. This was most likely an arbitrary decision to avoid looking into accusations that it had in fact been going on much longer than that, and thereby allowing Andreas the opportunity to escape the accusation of child abuse. He is sentenced to 1 year in prison. Such was the attitude of the day. Victoria was considered to be a willing participant in the abuse, and as such was also convicted for the crime. On January 10th, 1916, a day after her daughter's first birthday, Victoria was taken to Neuburg prison to spend the first of 30 days behind bars. For one relatively blissful year, Victoria and her mother Cecilia run the farm with help from their maid, Gretchen Reiger. Together they manage all the livestock and harvest the fields. On Sundays, Victoria makes the short journey to the village of Weidhofen to attend the trade fair, and on occasion joins the church choir to sing. She is praised widely for her voice and is known by the nickname the Lark of Hinterkaifeck. But in February 1917, Andreas returns, and though Victoria continues to sing, something of her voice has changed. In 1918, Victoria begins a relationship with Lorenz Schlittenbauer, her neighbour from the next farm over, who is only recently widowed. The affair is brief, with some blaming the presence of Andreas for Lorenz's reluctance to pursue the relationship. However, by the end of December, Victoria discovers she is pregnant again, and in July 1919 gives birth to a son, whom she names Josef. Now a single mother with two young children, Victoria is convinced that Lorenz is the father and approaches him for financial support. In response, Lorenz, who suspects the child might instead be Andreas, reports her and her father again to the police. With Andreas duly arrested and awaiting a second trial, Victoria pleads with Lorenz to drop the charge and claim paternity of the child to help put an end to all the salacious rumours. Lorenz later said that despite agreeing to the claim, Victoria paid him to say it. Meanwhile, Kretschens, the family's maid, is growing increasingly anxious. At night, she hears unusual sounds in the house and what seem like footsteps moving about the place. Sometimes her door even seems to open on its own accord. One morning in the summer of 1921, after pulling up water from the well, Kretschens is walking across the courtyard when she hears a strange noise coming from the barn, unlike any of the usual animal cries. Moving slowly into the barn, she catches sight of something in the corner and recoils in horror. It is Andreas, raping his daughter, who lies motionless underneath him. Kretschens leaves the farm the following week. The winter of 1921 is especially cruel, with freezing temperatures lasting well into the following year. By mid-March, there is still no end in sight, with frost and snow a frequent occurrence. One grey afternoon, Victoria is walking across the courtyard when she is distracted by a movement to the south. Looking up, she can just make out a lone figure standing at the edge of Witch's Wood that appears to be watching her. Looking away for a moment, she turns back to find that the figure has gone. A few days later, when postal worker Josef Meyer arrives at the property, he is met by Andreas waving a paper around, a damp and muddy copy of the Munich Zeitung. He'd found it while out in the field close to Witch's Wood. He wants to know if Josef has dropped it, perhaps, but Josef has never seen it before, and neither has he ever delivered one like it. Whosever's it was, he suggests, was not local to the area. It is early in the morning of March 29th when Andreas is disturbed from bed by what sounds like footsteps shuffling about in the attic above. Grabbing his rifle and a flashlight, he makes his way through the darkness toward the attic stairs and climbs up into the opening above, each step creaking as he goes. Pointing the light into the roof, he could see the whole attic stretched out in both directions, empty save for some old patches of straw that were scattered about and the pieces of meat hanging in the smokehouse above the kitchen. On the morning of Thursday, March 30th, Andreas heads toward the engine room, where much of the farm's heavy equipment is kept. The room is located at the southwest tip of the L-shaped farm, tacked on to the end of the barn. The snow is still thick on the ground as Andreas approaches to find that the padlock on the door is missing. What's more, there are two sets of footprints in the snow, leading inside the building, but none coming out. A confused Andreas stares down at the tracks and then up toward Witch's Wood, where they seem to have come from. Andreas shouts for whoever is inside to come out, but there is no reply. Pulling the door open, he's relieved to find the place completely deserted and everything as he'd left it. Later, however, he will find one of his two house keys has gone missing. Do you ever have trouble sleeping? One especially spooky podcast keeping you up all night, perhaps? Do you ever worry that you aren't getting all the nutrients you need for your body to thrive? Athletic Greens is a great tasting multivitamin and multimineral made from the most absorbable form of each ingredient that takes the guesswork out of knowing what to take or from where. What's more, Athletic Greens goes beyond the standard multivitamin by encompassing other nutrient categories to give you much more, helping to support gut health, energy, immunity, stress, and sleep. With as many as 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more nutrient-dense formula on the market. I enjoy it because it tastes good and makes getting as much high-quality nutrition as possible incredibly easy. So if you're looking to upgrade your multivitamin or take one nutritional formula that's going to help your daily nutritional basis, then you want to consider Athletic Greens. Right now, Athletic Greens is also giving my audience a special offer on top of their all-in-one formula, which is a free liquid vitamin D supplement amounting to a one-year supply with your first purchase for additional immune support. Make an investment in your health today and try the ultimate all-in-one wellness bundle and support your immunity, gut health, and energy by visiting athleticgreens.com/unexplained. That's athleticgreens.com/unexplained. Later that night, after a violent altercation with her husband, Cecilia Gruber is found to be missing, prompting the rest of the family, including 7-year-old Cecilia, to search all night for her. Concern that she may have drowned herself leads the family to the banks of the River Paar, a kilometre to the south of the farm, but there is no sign of her in the dark, icy water. the 72-year-old Cecilia is finally found, sitting silently on a tree stump in the forest, and is eventually coaxed back to the farm. The following day, with things appearing to have abated, the family are joined by 45-year-old Maria Baumgartner, who arrives accompanied by her sister, Francisca, to take on the role of a live-in housemaid. Francisca had helped secure the job for her sister, who, due to her learning difficulties and the slight physical disability of having one leg shorter than the other, had often struggled for work. Her most recent job in the nearby town of Unterwittelsbach having been terminated simply because the town's mayor deemed her too unsightly for the local community. And though Francisca had heard much about the Gruber family and what was rumoured to take place at Hinterkaifeck, it was an opportunity too good to refuse for Maria. Even still, it was hard not to feel a little trepidation when, after helping her sister settle in, she made her goodbyes and headed out of the property. With the wind picking up and thick storm clouds beginning to gather in the sky above, Francisca was approaching the main road when she heard the voice of her sister calling out from behind her. Turning round, she saw Maria racing toward her for one final goodbye before they parted. After a brief hug, Maria asked her sister to visit again soon, then turned and headed back to the farm. It is late the following night when local carpenter Michael Plockel trudges past the property and spots a fire burning in the outdoor oven and smoke billowing out of its chimney. Perhaps it was the nauseating smell, like burnt rags, that caused him to stop, or perhaps it was just something in the quiet of the night. But as he stares, he is taken aback by the sudden movement of a figure stepping into the courtyard. Michael watches as the figure slams the oven door shut, points a flashlight in his direction, and then begins steadily making his way toward him. Frozen with fear at first, as the figure draws closer and closer, Michael finally pulls his hands from his pockets and speeds off in the opposite direction. It is 2 days later when Josef Meyer arrives at the property to deliver Andreas's paper, only to find the place completely deserted, with no sign of Andreas, or anyone else for that matter, to be found. The courtyard unnervingly quiet, save for the gentle lowing of the cattle coming from inside the barn. Assuming they're out working the field somewhere, Josef leaves the paper on the kitchen windowsill and heads off to continue his round. It is sometime around midday on Tuesday, April 4th, when machinist Albert Hoffner arrives at Hinterkaifeck to make repairs to the family's threshing machine. A cold wind whips around him as he pulls up to the courtyard gate on his bicycle, surprised to find that it's still locked. After waiting unsuccessfully for over an hour for someone to meet him, Albert makes his way to the engine room. Grateful to find the lock is broken, he lets himself inside and sets to work on the machine. 4.5 hours later, there is still no sign of the family. With the work completed, Albert heads into the courtyard and notices for the first time that the barn door is wide open. Unsure if it was before, he moves toward it, calling out for Andreas or Victoria, but is met with only silence. Peering into the darkness beyond, he sees only the cattle inside and some hay piled up in the far corner. Hearing the dog suddenly barking manically, he wanders round to the front of the house and finds it tied up by the front door. Ignoring its cries, Albert cups his hands over the glass and peers inside to the kitchen, but sees nothing untoward. Turning back, he takes one final look at the empty field, to the stretch of forest beyond, then heads off to find his bicycle. It's just gone 5 p.m. when farmer Michael Pearl, another neighbour of the Grubers, hears a knock at his door. He opens it to find a nervous-looking Lorenz Schlittenbauer and their neighbour, Jakob Sig, waiting for him. After hearing about Albert Hoffner's strange experience at the farm, Lorenz had grown increasingly concerned about the Gruber family and his apparent son Josef's whereabouts. With young Cecilia not having been seen at school since Saturday. All was eerily quiet as the three men stepped into Hinterkaifeck's deserted courtyard, the silence only becoming more deafening when their desperate calls for Victoria and Andreas brought no reply. Finding all doors to the property now completely shut and locked up, save for the engine room, the men made their way inside from the back, only to find the through door to the barn had been deliberately blocked from behind with a beam of wood. After finally managing to dislodge it, and with the light quickly beginning to fade, the men carried on into the barn beyond. The sudden appearance of a cow wandering freely around inside startled them momentarily, as they continued forward into the dark, feeling for obstacles with their feet, when suddenly, Michael cried out, "Hey, there's something here." Michael pulled back and realized with horror it was a foot. Whoever it was lying under a large plank of wood that had been put on top of them. Together, the men pulled the wood to the side and revealed the body of Andreas Gruber underneath, dressed in trousers and undershirt, thickly matted with blood, and crudely covered over with hay. Pulling the body out, the men recoiled at the sight of its face. The right side of it was completely smashed in, its cheekbones clearly visible. But then, Lorenz saw the other limbs all packed underneath together. Pulling out one after the other, the men revealed the bodies of 7-year-old Cecilia, dressed in her nightskirt, her mother Victoria, and her mother, Cecilia, both fully dressed and hideously mutilated, their clothes and faces black with blood. Michael and Jakob retched at the sight of them and stumbled back into the courtyard, desperate for air. A moment later, Lorenz appeared in the yard, having opened the front door to the main house from inside, and beckoned for the other two to help him search for his son. They found him in the stroller at the foot of Victoria's bed, his body partially covered with one of Victoria's jackets. He'd been killed by a heavy blow to the face. Finally, after almost missing her at first, Michael noticed a pair of legs peeking out from under the bed in the maid's quarters. It was Maria, her clothes and face also soaked black with blood. As Michael and Jakob struggled to make sense of it all, an eerily calm Lorenz returned to Victoria's bedroom and, having found a candle, sat down quietly on the bed and lit it. Outside, all about, the land was silent and still, save for the gentle rustle of wind in the pines and the occasional wail of cattle coming from that solitary white stone building of Hinterkaifeck. You've been listening to Unexplained Season 5, Episode 9, Tenebris, Part 1 of 2. Part 2 will be released next Friday, January 22nd. If you enjoy Unexplained and would like to help support us, you can now do so via Patreon. To receive access to ad-free episodes, just go to patreon.com/unexplainedpod to sign up. Or if you'd like to make a one-time donation, you can go to unexplainedpodcast.com/support. All donations, no matter how large or small, are greatly appreciated. Unexplained, the book and audiobook, featuring 10 stories that have never before been covered on the show, is now available to buy worldwide. You can purchase through Amazon, Barnes & Noble and Waterstones, among other bookstores. All elements of Unexplained, including the show's music, are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplainedpodcast.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.